Ladies and gentlemen, it's 8:30 and the fourth session, the business meeting part of the CCB 85th anniversary convention is now open. And wasn't that some banquet last night? Whoa! I have my scarf up in my room. Here's what we're going to do this morning, ladies and gentlemen. We will continue with our discussion of the bylaws. Then we will have other action items, which are resolutions. And then we will go to mandatory reports, treasurers and Newell Perry. And then we'll either read or table the minutes. We will proceed as possible. Now, does the membership want to hear Article 8 once again? Say aye if you do. Okay, we read it again.
Okay.
You need the mic. You have one, or do you need this one?
I guess I need that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Article 8, Chapters and Special Interest Affiliates. Section 8.1, CCB affiliation consists of local or regional chapters and of statewide special interest affiliates. 8.1.1, an individual may join more than one chapter, exercising full rights of membership and voting in each, and paying dues to each, except for purposes of voting at the annual convention, and an individual may cast only one vote on their own behalf. At-large members who join a chapter give up their at-large status. Section 8.2, Formation. Section 8.2.1, any group of 10 or more individuals, majority of whom are blind as determined by self-declaration, may apply for affiliation as a chapter or special interest affiliate of the California Council of the Blind. Section 8.2.2. To be accepted for affiliation as a CCB chapter or special interest affiliate and to remain in good standing, the group shall, Section 8.2.2.1, submit to the CCB office such information and documentation at such time and in such manner as the council may require. 8.2.2.2. Provide such certifications and commitments as the council may deem necessary, including the timely provision of membership activity and financial information, and full cooperation in all matters bearing upon legal compliance. 8.3. Existing chapters and special interest affiliates, which have already incorporated themselves under the laws of the state of California and/or which have obtained their own federal/state tax exemption certificates, will be permitted to maintain those statuses, except that if either status lapses, the chapter or special interest affiliate may not renew it and will instead operate under CCB's corporate and tax-exempt umbrella. Section 8.3.1, new chapters or special interest affiliates seeking affiliation will operate under CCB's corporate tax-exempt certificate. Section 8.4, privileges, including a chapter or special interest affiliate's right to vote at the annual convention and to participate in organizational funding and program initiatives, and including all benefits, opportunities, and responsibilities of membership, shall extend to all chapters and special interest affiliates in good standing and subject to such rules as the council may adopt. Section 8.4.1, any chapter or special interest affiliate not retaining at least 10 members by a majority of whom a majority of whom are blind by self-declaration, for two consecutive years, shall be deemed inactive and may be subject to withdrawal of its charter upon vote of the CCB Board of Directors or by the membership at an annual convention. For purposes of determining chapter or special interest affiliate membership, the CCB President, who is an ex officio member of all chapters and special interest affiliates, shall not be counted, except for any chapters of special interest affiliates where the president has paid dues for that chapter or special interest affiliate. Section 8.4.2. No funds in the possession or under the ownership or control of any chapter shall inure to the benefit of any individual. In the event of the dissolution or inactivity of any chapter or special interest affiliate, including dissolution as a result of membership decline, its funds and other property shall revert, after payment of its debts and obligations, to the CCB, except where a different distribution is required by law. Section 8.4.3, all chapters and special interest affiliates shall adopt the Council's non-enurement requirement in its bylaws or other governing documents. documents, and each chapter and special interest affiliate shall adopt and implement the council's conflict of interest policy. In furtherance of this policy, all chapter and special interest affiliate officers shall sign and pledge adherence to this policy upon assuming office. Section 8.5, voting strength. Section 8.5.1, on all matters coming before the annual convention of the CCB, each chapter shall have a minimum of 5 votes. Once the chapter has more than 25 members, its number of votes will be determined by dividing the total number of members by 5 and rounding to the nearest whole number. Therefore, a chapter with 27 or fewer members has 5 votes, 28 to 32, 6 votes, 33 to 37, 7 votes, etc. Section 8.5.2, all special interest affiliates shall have 5 votes, regardless of their number of members. Section 8.5.3, if a delegate or alternate delegate is not present or otherwise available to cast the chapter or special interest affiliate's vote, the chapter or special interest affiliate's vote shall not be cast. However, each individual chapter or special interest affiliate member in attendance shall retain his or her right to vote as an individual. Section 8.6, each chapter or special interest affiliate shall collect dues annually from its members in an amount to be determined by the chapter or special interest affiliate. Section 8.6.1, each chapter or special interest affiliate shall annually pay such portion of member dues or such other funds as may be required to the council office. Such amount is currently $15 per member for chapters and a $75 flat fee per special interest affiliate. Section 8.7, when a chapter or special interest affiliate violates these bylaws, the board of directors may, by majority vote, suspend the chapter or special interest affiliate for a period no longer than until the next regular council convention. The convention shall then vote on disciplining the chapter or special interest affiliate, with all options ranging from full reinstatement to expulsion open to it, as it sees fit, subject to the limitations and percentage threshold requirements set forth in Article 5 on voting. That is the end of the Article 8.
I know my name. I need your name. Who's the lady in the back that asked for the floor? Mona Craig, I recognize you. Will somebody get Mona a microphone? And I heard you, Bob.
Can you raise your hand? And Christy after that.
I heard. Mona, you're up.
If you need a mic, can you raise your hand? We have somebody coming out to you.
I have two questions, and they're probably not in order. The at-large should, is that telling me that you are going to dismiss, disband, no longer have at-large members, which tells
no,
me
that... No, that is not, okay. And that is out of order.
So I can... Well, okay, the second question is...
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mona, we are not disbanding at-large members at
okay.
all.
Okay, thank you. You're not expanding, that's good for me. The second question is on the section before 8.3.1. It dealt with, God, if my memory serves me correctly, and I've had my coffee. It dealt with the renewal of, each chapter, if they decide to have become their own 503.1, whatever, CP3. Are you telling us that we can do it up until, say, the next convention, and then if it's not renewed, that we cannot renew it once it... Can you explain that section to me? Because it
basically, Mona, this is Gabe, the chair of the committee. If what we're saying is if a chapter already has that now, then they would be allowed to retain it. These bylaws would go into effect, according to our constitution, on July 1st of this year. So what we're saying here is that if a chapter already has, or a special interest affiliate, already has that 501c3 code, they will be allowed to keep it. Once these bylaws go into effect, if a chapter or affiliate does not already have that, then they would need to stay under the... CCB umbrella. If a chapter currently has that and that status lapses, then they would go under the CCB affiliate or umbrella and stay in that status.
So what is the cutoff date to decide whether we want a 501 whatever or not? July 1? And it has to be put into place by July 1, or does it?
Yes, it would need to be in effect by July 1st.
Okay, so basically, since the wheels of justice move slowly, there probably won't be no way. Thank you.
Bob, I recognize you. No, you do, because good morning, ACB Radio.
Actually, when we get to, I'll speak on one section now, and I will come up later, I think. The home chapter, Madam Chair, what is the proper, I want to make a motion to retain the home chapter, and I want to speak on it, and I want to speak on that if I can.
All right,
I
just
heard a second.
Is there a second?
And I move.
All right, I heard seconds. Okay, Bob.
May I speak in opposition? I'll be quiet, just one minute. I'm opposition. Thank you.
Bob, just a minute. Yes, we know you are speaking in favor of your motion, which is to keep the concept of home chapters. Is there anyone who would like to speak in favor?
Steve wants to speak in opposition.
Steve wants favor to speak of my motion?
I certainly do. Bob, I'm seeing lining up people who may want to speak on this motion. So Steve Mendelson will speak for.
Against.
Bob will speak for. Any other people? Christy speaking for. Another person against. Gabe will speak against.
Madam President, can I have a point of clarification before?
Yes, Jeff. Yes.
I assume, Bob, that if this motion passes, so that the committee, that they can correctly write it. I assume it means that if you were a non-home chapter member of a chapter, you not only can't count as a vote for that chapter, but you also have to pay CCB dues for that chapter. Is that your interpretation or not? Because we've heard both interpretations, so I want to figure out how they're supposed to write it.
No, we need a clarification. Is that what your motion means?
Okay, so...
Wait a minute. No, we need a clarification if that is what Bob's motion means. We don't need anyone to help him clarify his motion. Okay, sorry. So, Bob, did you hear what Jeff's second point was?
Yeah, I did, but I don't know how to write it. No.
The question is, Jeff is going to... We need a clarification of your motion.
What do you intend?
Jeff, just ask him again. Ask him again, Jeff.
Do you intend, if this motion passes... Two things. I'm sure you intend the first thing, if you are a non-home chapter member, you don't count for that chapter's total vote strength.
Yes, I agree with that.
The second thing is, does your non-home chapter have to pay CCB dues for you? Yes or no?
Mr. Chairman, whatever they do now, I don't think the Glendale pays for my vote. Me, I don't know what they do. I just pay their dues. I don't know.
Okay.
Does somebody know?
Okay, we will now start the discussion. And Bob, do we have a timekeeper?
I do. 2 minutes.
2 minutes. And can you get started when Bob starts speaking?
Okay, Bob, get ready. Go.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to retain. And I'd like a yes vote, please. I really am fearful that if it doesn't count on the vote, I'm not sure about that part. And that was one of my fears, but it sounds like if I join five more chapters, my vote stays with the home chapter. I think I'm correct there. But I want to stay where we are because I worry about inflating chapters that are dominating. I know you say the members will stop you and so forth, but it's just a way to increase the treasury to make us bigger. I think we're good on the home chapter. So I do weekly here, I guess. I support my motion. Thank you.
Okay. Can you reset the...
I'm resetting.
And get a mic to Steve.
Bob, you've expressed the fear of delegate vote inflation by reason of people joining more than one chapter. I understand that that is a sincere fear. I regard it, and the committee regards it as remote, but nevertheless, it can be totally prevented by a simple strategy. If a chapter feared that it was going to be swamped, it has the right, and I believe every chapter should, and some already have, incorporated into their own chapter bylaws provisions requiring new chapter members to be voted in by the chapter, to be accepted. I can't just walk in and join a chapter. The chapter has to accept me. And so if the chapter is fearful of being swamped, it should have and can exercise the right to decline to vote in additional or suspect members. Additionally, if that were not enough for you, the possibility exists that a chapter could set a rule requiring that membership be in effect on behalf of a particular individual for a given number of days before they could vote. That would be reasonable, and that would, again, totally obviate the risk, however remote, of being swamped on voting day.
Okay, Christy. Get a mic to Christy.
Hello, everyone. May God bless us, everyone. I just want to say, yeah, you double dog dared me, Sarah. I just want to say this. The small chapters who are remote will not ever be able to get the votes that the closer together chapters can get. And yes, it will pad the membership. It will inflate the votes of other chapters. My also concern is, I know we're going to get some feedback on the $15 a year membership. Well, if I join two chapters, I'm not paying $15, I'm paying $30. And if I join three chapters, I'm going to pay $45. And then if I join a special interest affiliate, I'm going to pay another whatever dollars. I'm really concerned about this. I feel like it's an unethical piece of this work, and I don't think it's meant in malice, but I really urge people to keep us having our home chapters. That way we really also know the roots of people. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm turning the mic over to Gabe.
On the idea of chapter inflation, I'm just going to make up numbers for right now because I haven't added everything up. If we have 100 affiliate votes right now, there will almost certainly be a few chapters that are increased. But remember, it takes a fraction of 5 to increase a vote. So if a chapter right now has 33 home chapter members, and say 5 or 7 non-home chapter members, they will then, if this passes, they would increase from 7 votes to 8. They're not going to go from 7 votes to 20 votes. So our affiliate vote might increase by 5 or 6. It's not going to increase by 50%. It's not going to increase by 100%. On the idea of inflating our CCB member numbers, the number of CCB members is going to stay the same. The office has the database that goes to ACB that filters out members. I'm already a member of 4 or 5 different chapters and affiliates. So my name is not currently counted five times. It's not going to be counted five times. This bylaws, all it does is it gives somebody full rights of membership in every chapter or that they choose to join, which is what this organization is all about, giving chapter or giving members full rights and full voting. Thank you.
No, Gene, we are voting now on this amendment. I guess we've had the for and against, so we are going to call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I'm sorry. I can't vote. I'm going to do it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed.
No.
You should have clarified. I think people wanted clarification.
Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. Gene, did you? Was that a point of clarification when you said?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I thought you just wanted to speak further. Get Gene a mic. Okay. Excuse me. If there was a point of clarification that I didn't understand, we need to hear that.
Okay, I'll make
the clarification. Yeah, somebody get Gene a mic.
The motion that Robert Acosta made, and it was seconded by Christy Crespin, was for us to retain from our current bylaws, existing bylaws, the home chapters, and also that the fees, you'd only pay fees in your home chapter to go on to CCB. Otherwise, you'd be paying just your chapter fees for those that are not your home chapter. In other words, you would not be paying additional money.
That is the motion as it was presented. Does that make the point clear then, Gene? All right, then let's have the vote again then to make sure. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Other side gets to ask for a roll call if they have 25 people.
Or if you don't feel comfortable making a call,
then you can just ask
say
to
it's
make
too close
a roll
for me to
call. You can inquire.
Yeah. You can say we're going to do a roll call.
That's correct.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll do a roll call.
Point of clarification.
Steve?
Point of clarification. If Mr. Acosta's motion passes.
Steve, we can't. You need a mic.
Yeah, sorry. Yes, I thought I had one. Sorry.
If Bob Acosta's motion passes, does that mean that effective July 1st, I can demand a refund of the dues I've already paid the second and third?
No.
Nice try. Demand anything you want.
Yeah. All right, we're going to prepare for a roll call vote. So we, of course. And only people with a dot on their badge can vote.
It means exactly that, Dave. I can demand a refund of the dues I paid to the second, third, and fourth. Why not?
I just thought it was too close to call. That's my commission. You still have to pay my commission.
Oh, we'll get around to that.
Well, I have a nice warrior jersey, but I'm not wearing it. I don't have a strong.
Depends on
who's in the room. Which delegates are. Now, does this mean we're going to hold the session? No, because we wouldn't see the ballot open. Yeah.
Thank you.
We are doing a roll call and a ballot. I mean, that's what ballot means. Okay. That's what roll call means.
I thought it was just by the roll call. By the
ballot. No, no. Members get to vote. So the ballot.
There, Christy was talking.
I don't know. He thought it was just roll call. All right. While the obviously, if you are against, if you're for this motion, if you are in favor of this ballot, if this motion, you leave your ballot intact. Do not do anything to it. If you are against this motion, you tear off one corner. Is that clear? If you're in favor of the motion, leave your ballot alone.
If the officers have to.
No, not on this. We are just members.
I mean, I think technically on a roll call vote, I think it is.
No, we don't ever do that. Other,
yes, we
except
do.
Not on.
According to our constitution,
we're not going to do it today.
It's technically supposed to. I would only do it when we get to the voting on the
on the full constitution.
The full
yes. Yep.
And I've got the document here if you want me to.
Yeah.
Okay. Is are the ballots being handed out?
Yes.
Okay. I think we can start. Are you ready
ballot.
To start the roll?
I'm ready to start.
We need ballots up here, folks.
We need ballots, but we're going to start the roll call. Do we have our tally team in place? Can we start tallying?
They're still passing them out.
What we need is for
but you can do the roll call.
Lisa?
She's passing out
ballots. Lisa, we need you up here to tally, and we need other people to pass out ballots.
We need ballots, folks. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Lisa, can we have you ready? Can you tally? Are you ready to tally now? No, let somebody else, even if it takes
tally,
the whole time.
You have to tally the chapter, yep. The delegate votes.
You have to tally the number of delegate votes.
Okay.
Is Nicole here?
I'm ready, no.
She's not, okay. Okay, Gabe, I'm going to turn the microphone over to you for the roll call.
Okay.
Does everybody have a ballot? And did we make sure to get ballots to the guys on the back table doing the streaming?
We need another ballot up here. We need clean ballots. No, I'm done.
Okay, does everybody have a ballot now? If you don't have a ballot, please raise your hand.
And we'll ask again before we pick them up. Remind people.
Okay, I'm not hearing anybody calling that they don't have a ballot, so once again, if you want to vote yes to keep on the amendment to retain the idea of home chapter members, leave your ballot intact. If you want to vote no, then tear off one corner. And I will go down the list of chapters and affiliates, and please the delegate call out your vote. I will repeat it, and we will mark it down and count it when we get there. Okay. First, I'm sorry? A point of clarification?
Are we not voting to keep the bylaws as they are?
No, we're not.
No, this is not on the Constitution. This is not on the full bylaws. This is on the amendment in Article 8, to retain the idea of home chapter members.
Yes.
It is to retain home chapter members. Okay. So moving to the affiliate roll call. Active Blind Inland Valleys. The number of votes, please let me finish. The number of votes is 5 votes. The delegate is Christy Crespin.
Five votes.
5 yes. Hold on just a second. Sorry, I'm working off of a file instead of off of the card, so I was just trying to see how it's working. The next chapter or affiliate is ACB Capital Chapter. The number of votes is 8 votes. The delegate is Joni Patchy. One yes, 7 no. The Bayview chapter, number of votes is 8. The delegate is Maria Mitchell. 8 votes no. Did I hear that correct? Okay, 8 votes no. Okay, next chapter is the Braille Revival League of California. The number of votes is 5, and the delegate is Linda Perel. 2.5 yes, 2.5 no. The next one is the California Council of Citizens with Low Vision. Number of votes is 5, and the delegate is Penny Valdovinos.
5 yes.
5 yes. Next is California Library Users of America. Number of votes is 5, and the delegate is Bonnie Rennie.
5 yes.
5 yes. California Council of Blind Students, number of votes is 5. The delegate is Robin Patchy.
5 votes no.
5 no. Contra Costa chapter, 5 votes. Delegate is Rosemary Chase.
5 votes no.
5 no. East Los Angeles chapter, number of votes is 8. Delegate is Mona Craig. 5 yes. 8, sorry, 8 yes.
Did you get that change, Lisa?
Yes.
Sorry. Fresno chapter. 7 votes. Delegate is Jamie Gibson Barrows.
5 yes, 2 no.
5 yes, 2 no. Glendale Burbank area chapter, number of votes is 7. Delegate is Anthony Signorello. 7 yes. Golden State Guide Dog Handlers Inc., number of votes is 5. Delegate is Diane Deutsch. 5 yes. And folks, people are coming around to collect your ballots, so please have them ready. Next, we have Greater Bakersfield Council of the Blind. Number of votes is 5. Delegate is Paul Leon. Five yes. Next is Greater Long Beach Chapter. Number of votes is 5. Delegate is Robert Wendt. And the alternate delegate is Jessica Marquez. I don't believe she's here. Okay. So we don't have Greater Big or Long Beach, it looks like. Next is Greater Los Angeles Chapter. Number of votes is 6. Delegate is Guillermo Robles. 6 yes. High Desert Chapter. Number of votes is 7. Delegate is Bob Acosta. Seven. Okay, so 7 votes yes. Humboldt Council of the Blind. Number of votes is 5. Delegate is Gavin Smiley. 6 yes. Okay. Gavin is also the alternate delegate, so. Inland Empire, number of votes is 5. Delegate is Christine Bailey. The alternate delegate is Adele Galaviz. Okay, doesn't sound like they are here. Next is Orange County Chapter. Number of votes is 5. Delegate is Larry Gassman.
5 votes? Yes.
5 yes. Okay. All right, folks. Lisa, did you get that one?
Yep.
Okay. Next is Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California. Number of votes is 5. And the delegate is Paul Patchy Jr.
5 no.
5 no. Next is Redwood Empire Chapter. Number of votes is 5. Delegate is Annette English. 5 yes. Next is San Bernardino Council of the Blind, or Council. Number of votes is 8, and the delegate is Deborah Gossett. The alternate delegate is Theodore Wilbrecht. Okay, I'm not hearing them either. Next, we have San Diego Braille Club. Number of votes is 5. Delegate is Charlene Ornelas.
Braille Club votes 5 votes, yes.
5, yes. Next is San Francisco CCB Chapter. Number of votes is 7. Delegate is Lisa Cushman.
San Francisco votes 1 yes, 6 no.
1 yes, 6 no. Next is San Gabriel Valley Chapter. Number of votes is 8. Delegate is Debbie Obregon.
8 votes, yes.
8, yes. Next is Silicon Valley Chapter. Number of votes is 13. Delegate is Rob Turner. And could folks up here at the HUD table please be quiet? 1 yes, 12 no. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure I could hear what people were calling out. Next is Yosemite Gateway. Number of votes is 5. Delegate is Margaret Buckman Garcia. The alternate delegate is Gail Miller. I'm not hearing either of them. And that is the, that completes the roll call of affiliates.
Okay, while we're waiting for the count, I'll entertain other comments on Article 8. Gene, I hear you. Let someone get a mic to Gene. And let me know, Lisa, when we have a tally.
I'd like to know 8.3. I believe that's the one that it's dealing with incorporation of the chapters. I was wondering what the reason this has been recommended. The last two audits, independent audits that were done going back, I guess, about 3-4 years ago, the auditors clearly said that we needed to have our chapters and needed to do everything possible to get them incorporated.
Yes.
It was to, so that we weren't, as a state organization, vulnerable to issues of keeping accurate records on sales tax and so forth, so that we'd have to turn to the state. Therefore, it would be their responsibility, the chapters, and we would not have a possibly lose our tax-exempt status. And they would have to address that. So I am wondering why we are taking a 180 stance, since some chapters move toward that direction to get incorporated.
Gene,
that's
the
first thing.
If I could respond to that. And that's a very good question. We were given information. Lane mentioned it, Lane Waters from ACB, and our accountant, whose name is escaping me, Ray Chan. That there is an umbrella methodology you can use that will not, as long as we get the right documentation done, that will have sufficient shielding, that it will not imperil our statewide 501c3 status. So we did a 180 for the appropriate reasons.
Okay, could you clarify then one thing else is...
Other comments on...
Yes, Steve Mendelson.
please.
I'm sorry, Gene. I'm sorry. You still? Did you
yes,
have another?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
Then I would like to find out then why are we putting in our bylaws that discourage a chapter or an affiliate to get themselves incorporated if they feel that they wish to get incorporated? What is the negative perspective on that?
Yes.
Let me try to respond briefly to both of Gene's points and to echo Jeff. There are good points. First of all, Gene, the issues of sales tax and 501c3 are slightly different, but the problem basically is this. Since the last audit, we had the specter, may I say the fiasco, of having an affiliate lose its name, not only its status, but lose its name. And what we have found is that many of the affiliates, especially given the heightened paperwork requirements associated with keeping up tax exempt and incorporation status, simply do not have the resources to do that on their own. They are exposed, and we are exposed. More broadly, and this answers your second question too, the problem is that irrespective of the technical status of the affiliate, if it's an SECB affiliate, it represents us, it bears our name, and we are responsible for it in the public mind, if not in law. Therefore, we need to have the capacity to get the information from it that we need to protect ourselves and to get the information and interaction with it that we need to help it to keep on the right course, to make sure that it keeps up with its obligations so that we can keep up with ours, and in general to assure that our name is used in the ways that bring honor and benefit to the organization. Not that anyone would intentionally do otherwise, but unwittingly there are many, many pitfalls that chapters, particularly smaller chapters, can fall into.
Well,
Gene.
Okay, and I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on. I just want to thank Steve for that. I would just suggest for thought in the future that maybe we have a breakout session to discuss the incorporation and understand the responsibilities of providing the state. Thanks. Just a suggestion.
Okay. Thank you.
If you could help me with.
Is there another?
Yeah.
I'd like to, Gene, I'd like to go on to somebody else. No, and I'll come back to you. Because other people, you know, you have had time to make an argument and other people are asking to speak. So I'll come back to you if you feel you still would like to have the floor. Christy?
I have a question about saying that, well, let's say, for instance, just a fictional thing. Let's say that I am a member of XYZ Incorporated, and I want to take my chapter or my organization, social, and I really love what I'm hearing about CCB, and I want to join our chapter with CCB. This is saying, if we pass this, that XYZ Incorporated may not join as a CCB chapter.
No, Gabe will respond, Christy.
Wait.
Okay.
Or it will.
I haven't heard a question yet.
Or it will need to give up its incorporation status to join. That's what I'm hearing.
No. Christy, that is not accurate.
Okay, can you read that section again? Because
hold on, Christy. It says that if a chapter or affiliate already has incorporation, it will keep it. But if that lapses, if they don't have it or if it lapses, then they will stay under CCB umbrella. So if a new entity is coming in and they already have their incorporation, they can keep it. Okay, hold on. We're finding it. Give me a second. We're finding it.
In the meantime, do we have a tally?
I have it.
Do Lisa?
Yes.
Do we have a vote result?
Yes.
Yes. Is could this you? There we go.
Yes. Could you give us the result?
So the vote is 126.5 to 73.5. The fours have it.
Okay. All right. All right. Jeff is going to read the sentence you asked for.
Okay. This is. This is section 8.3.1, new chapters or special interest affiliates seeking affiliation, which is what she's talking about, will operate under CCB's corporate tax exempt certificate.
So that means if I'm XYZ,
No, if they are a new corporate entity, if they're a corporate entity and they're seeking to join, as Christy says, they have to join under CCB's corporate status.
So if I'm XYZ Incorporated and I want to join CCB, I either cannot join or I have to give up my status, and I think there's something wrong with that.
I guess technically you could keep your corporate status, but you can't use it. But you can't use it in terms of your CCB work, you know, your CCB activities. That would be the technical, which is, you know, I agree with you essentially.
Christy, would you be okay if we add a clause in there that says, new chapters or affiliates joining will join under CCB umbrella unless they already have their own.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah. We can. I'll take that as a. That was, I will admit, that was an oversight, and we will take that as a friendly amendment and add that.
Thank you.
That was a good catch, so thank you.
Okay. Is there another comment on Chapter 8? Olivia?
I wrote it.
I'll recognize you.
I recall that a couple of months ago in your presidential report that you had told us that the board had decided that chapters were either on a volunteer basis, I believe, was now going to have to up their dues to $20 a year as opposed to 15.
No, I'm going to let Gabe respond.
Okay.
Okay. So the question was in regards to dues. Currently, CCB or currently chapters pay CCB $5. CCB for the last 15 years now has then turned around and passed that same $5 to ACB. What we are proposing here is that chapters will pay CCB $15 per member. Well, due to the vote that we just took, per home chapter member. And that chapter can charge whatever dues they want. If that chapter wants to charge a dollar and then go out and or nothing and then go out and fundraise and pay CCB dues all on their own without charging a chapter, they can do that. We're not telling chapters what they have to charge their members. We're just saying what chapters will be paying CCB for their home chapter members.
Because our chapter, Fresno, we upped our dues to 20.
That answers the question. I feel what your chapter does is out of the scope here.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments on Article 8? Bob, you have the floor. You have the floor. You have the floor. We're getting you a mic.
I wanted to understand this. Let's get to mine. We pay 12. Would it go to 27?
It's
you want
it's
to?
Bob
charges me 12.
Bob, your chapter will charge whatever they want to charge.
They have to charge 15 more.
No. Your chapter could probably they'd have to charge 10 more if they want to retain the same amount. But your chapter can charge whatever they want to charge. They're paying CCB $15.
I'm worried that we may lose members, but I don't. I think people have thought.
Any other comments on? I'm sorry. Am I
out of order on that one? Okay.
No, you were not out of order. That was a perfectly reasonable question to ask, but I hope we answered it. We did that. Your chapter. Well,
no, I'm talking about membership loss. Yeah, but anyway, yeah. That's
okay.
A consideration.
All right.
You've answered me.
Somebody's calling. Penny, go ahead. Go ahead. We're getting your mic.
On the incorporating part, I'm curious, and I need it clarified that none of our chapters can incorporate themselves if we're under the East at all. That's what I need. Are they keeping us from incorporating if we want to? And getting our own 501c3.
Yes, Penny, that is correct.
I don't think that's fair.
You are correct on that.
Okay. Are ready to move on to Article 9.
It's a special interest. What is this 8, Madam
President? Yes, it's special interest affiliates are mentioned.
That's in Article 8, correct?
Yes. I didn't. Oh, right. I want to ask you.
I understand the special interest thing that the board should sign documents. That's proper. And I heard the one about catering from my friend Steve. I don't intend to buy a catering company and make money. But you have a pampered chef's person, and she wants to share her profit. She wants to keep some of it. She wants to give a chapter pampered chef's party. Can she do that under your special interest where you have all the chapter officers sign off?
Bob, that would be perfectly acceptable and probably encouraged.
It would be considered a donation, Bob.
It's a donation. So the conflict would be if she was charging and it went out for bid. But by doing a donation like that, that is, like I said, that's perfectly acceptable and would probably be encouraged.
Gene, I promised to get back to you if you had a further point. Did you get your further point? Do you want to have the floor again? Get him a mic, please.
Thank you. I'd like clarification. You answered. Okay, if you are already a chapter or an affiliate that is incorporated, I understand that you're okay. No, that's not what I want to find out is what restrictions do they have in using their incorporation status when they're doing CCB business?
None.
When they're raising
the answer
funds.
On that, Gene, is none. If they have their exempt status, whatever, there's no restriction from CCB on that.
Oh, but I mean, doing CCB business, because you're saying the example of some group comes in that's incorporated, they can use that to do non-CCB business, but they can't use that status if they're doing it as a CCB chapter or affiliate. So I'm just asking what happens to the ones that are already in the organization that have gotten their incorporation status.
Steve, let me clarify that, if I may.
We amended it.
Gene, I think you're a little late on that one. But since you have a bona fide concern, and let me just say, the simple answer, Gene, is that there's really no difference between an incorporated and a non-incorporated chapter for purposes of your question. Whatever one can do, the other can do. If someone wants to come in and make a donation to a non-incorporated chapter, they can do it. To an incorporated chapter, they can do it. And I'm not understanding the kind of situation where there would possibly be a difference.
Possibly if for somebody wants to donate specifically to the chapter and not to CCB, and they use... and
they can do it.
They can.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And the last thing, and if 8.4.1, can you just refresh my memory what that is? Chef or whoever, a gay brother. It's a jury.
I think we're both trying to get there. Hold on a second, Jane. 8.4.1. Any chapter or special interest affiliate not retaining at least 10 members, parentheses, a majority of whom are blind. Is that the one you're asking?
Maybe, I guess no. 8.6.1 then. And I will drop it.
What's the topic that you're looking for?
I'm trying to remember, Gabe. Okay. That's the problem. I got a note here that I'm confused about. Please?
What's your note? Because I'm...
Just please.
Okay.
He doesn't know.
Just tell me what 8.6.1 is. Just
we're trying to get there, Jane.
Okay, 8.6.1, each chapter or special interest affiliate shall annually pay such portion of member dues or such other funds as may be required of the council office.
Okay, drop it. We'll move on, please.
Okay, thank you.
Article 9
is called the executive director and staff. Section 9.1, the executive director, ED, is selected by the board and is supervised by the president. The ED is responsible for day-to-day supervision of all other staff. Section 9.2, selection and termination of staff are generally handled in conjunction with the board president, but the ED has the authority to select and discipline all staff up to and including termination from employment with CCB. Section 9.3, the ED is responsible for maintaining internal policies and procedures approved by the board and maintaining compliance with all employment requirements and reporting obligations. The ED is also responsible for the creation, implementation, and accountability of routine day-to-day policies and procedures required for smooth organizational operations. Section 9.4, the ED seeks out, negotiates, and manages all contracts and agreements and acts as the signatory for such agreements, except where the president is required to do so. That is the end of Article 9.
I need the mic. Okay. Any comments on Article 9? Article 10.
Okay. Article 10 is... gifts, bequests, and contracts.
Nobody go to sleep.
Section 10.1. I'm going to read it fast, so listen up. All activities connected with seeking, receiving, and managing gifts and bequests shall be carried out in accordance with the organizational gift acceptance policy, except as specified in Section 10.4. Policies will be developed for dealing with gifts and bequests received prior to the implementation of CCB's gift acceptance policy. Section 10.2, except as otherwise specified, all gifts and bequests shall be administered and managed in strict conformance with the highest standards of fiscal accountability, including Section 10.2.1, selection by the treasurer or by such other official as the president may determine of an investment manager whose stewardship shall include informing the organization of the benchmarks used to evaluate investment performance, who shall consult with the treasurer or other designated representative in the selection of suitable investments, who shall adhere to a fiduciary standard in the allocation of organizational assets and in the furnishing of advice, and who shall cooperate in ensuring that information and options made available to the treasurer and board are accessible to persons who are blind or have low vision. Section 10.2.2, the treasurer shall report to the board at such intervals and in such detail as the board may direct on the performance and other details concerning gift and bequest funds. Section 10.3, the council hereby provides for the creation of an endowment fund for the purpose of soliciting and investing funds for use in promoting the purposes of the council as set forth in Article 2 of these bylaws. The name of the fund shall be the Newell Perry Invest Endowment Trust. The trust shall be administered by a board of trustees comprised of three trustees. Section 10.3.1, three trustees shall be selected by the Board of Directors of the California Council of the Blind. Should a trustee resign or be incapacitated for any reason, such trustee shall be replaced with the Council Board of Directors. Section 10.3.2, the trustee shall serve without compensation. Their duties shall be to accept, receive, and hold, invest, and reinvest contributions to the Newell Perry Endowment Trust, with interest thereon and additions and accretions thereto and such other income that might accrue. Upon the order of the Board of Directors of the California Council of the Blind, the trustees shall pay out and distribute the earned income for the purposes set forth in this article. The Board of Directors shall not order the expenditure of the corpus unless an amendment is adopted for that purpose as provided in Article 12 of these bylaws. Section 10.3.3, the trustees shall comply with the provisions of the California Business and Professions Code regulating charitable solicitations and shall file such reports as may be necessary to obtain or maintain approval for the tax-exempt status of the Newell Perry Endowment Trust, California Council of the Blind, with the Internal Revenue Service and the State of California Franchise Tax Board. Section 10.3.4, the Council Board Director shall determine at any regular meeting whether the trustees shall be bonded and in what amount to guarantee the faithful performance of their duties, or whether the trustees shall serve without bond. If the Council Board Directors takes no action on this subject, the trustees shall serve without bond. But if bond is required, then a bond premium shall be paid from the Newell Perry Endowment Trust Funds. Section 10.3.5, the trustees shall account to the Board of Directors quarterly, providing such information as the Board shall direct. All solicitations investments shall be subject to the approval or ratification of the Board. No expenditure of trust funds shall be made unless two trustees shall sign therefore. Section 10.3.6, the Board of Trustees, with the approval of the California, with the approval of the Board of Directors, may adopt such rules and regulations consistent with the provisions of this article as they may deem advisable for the administration of the trust funds. Section 10.3.7, in case any funds are donated for a specified purpose within the meaning or use of these trust funds, the wishes of the donor shall be respected as far as possible. Section 10.3.8, the trustee shall prepare a report to the membership at the council's annual convention. Section 10.4, funds received by the organization pursuant to contracts, grants, or otherwise for the conduct of specified organizational activities and to be used within specified periods of time shall be administered in accordance with the conditions and reporting requirements applicable to their receipt, but shall not comprise any part of the organization's gifts and bequests a portfolio. That's the end of Article 10.
Let me have the mic. I'm moving it back. Yes, Christy. Get a mic to Christy.
Okay, on Section 10.3, Newell Perry, I would like some clarification on that because I don't understand why we're recreating a Newell Perry fund. And then my second one is a friendly amendment, I hope. 10.3.7 says as far as possible. I don't know why that just really bothers me. Can we say to the fullest extent possible?
Let me address both of those, Christy. We are not recreating the Newell Perry Trust. This whole article 10.3 is literally copied and pasted from what we currently have in Article 4 of our Constitution. So, and then to your second point there of the 10.3.7, that is the same language that if you look in Article 4.7 of the current Constitution, it says that same thing. That's where that came from.
Okay.
Yeah, I will take that as a friendly amendment.
Any other comments on Article 10? Christy, did that answer your question about the Newell Perry Trust?
I don't know. I wish I had the old copy.
It's identical. It really is.
Copied and pasted.
We worked with Mitch on this, Christy.
Yeah.
The committee worked with Mitch on this, and it is as he, in a sense, as I should not be doing this.
What Judy was starting to say, we've worked with the Newell Perry trustees on this section, and the trustees have all signed off on Article 10.3. So, do you still want your friendly amendment in there, Christy? Okay, I just want to make sure, because like I said, we had worked with the Newell Perry trustees on this. So I will put that in there as a friendly amendment.
I heard
Diane Deutsch.
I have Diane, Jean, you've had the floor a lot, so I'm going to let Diane have the floor.
I have the mic. I want to go back to the last 9 point whatever. I have a question about that. It says that the ED can negotiate contracts.
I'm sorry, Diane. This is out of order. We're on.
Well, could you just a point of reference?
We're all
ask a question.
Why no, we're discussing Article 10 at this time.
I'm sorry. I wondered why the board didn't have anything to say about what the
Jean,
ED was.
You have the floor. Sorry, Diane. You can. There's a time at the end of the discussion when people can discuss, you know, voting for or against the Constitution. And if you have a point you want to make, you can make it at that time.
Jean Lozano, I wanted to find why we don't have the Ellen Murphy Trust also as part of this, since that is one of our. It's not in our existing bylaws. But I was wondering why we don't reflect it now, since it and the Newell Perry are our two big trusts.
In if we were starting from scratch as a brand new organization, none of these subsidiary foundations would be detailed in the bylaws. In a perfect world, they really don't belong there because they have their own articles of incorporation and bylaws. So this is actually kind of redundant. In the existing Constitution, we have language about the Newell Perry Trust because it's been around a long, 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 long time, like, 60-some-odd years. We have other trusts and foundations that are somewhat subsidiaries, such as the Ellen Murphy Trust, the Lily Perry Fund, the Lily Perry Memorial the Lily Perry Foundation, and there might be maybe one or two others that I don't know about. But the point is that those were not incorporated in the existing Constitution. And like I said, then it would probably be better if the Newell Perry Fund weren't there. But it's kind of like your appendix. You know, you don't really need your appendix, but as long as it's not infected, you leave it alone. But you
any
don't.
Other,
but you don't have two or three more appendices implanted in you.
Yeah. Any other comments on Article 10? Article 11. Okay. I'm sorry, we're switching out.
Okay, Article 11. Resolutions. All resolutions to come before the convention must be submitted to the Resolutions Committee at least 30 days prior to the first day of the convention. Any CCB member in good standing may submit a resolution for consideration. That is the end of Article 11.
Comments on Article 11?
Madam President, if I may.
Oh, wait a minute. Bob, I heard you. There was somebody else in the back. And because, Bob, you've had the floor a lot, I'm going to let Linda have it for now.
Basically, I agree with this. Is there any way to put a little rider on it? Something could come up that's time sensitive or emergency. You know, to me, just leaving that hard and fast feels uncomfortable.
Linda, we've discussed that. It's too hard to put in. Anything we could maybe put in something that if there's an emergency, the committee has discretion. Also, if there's emergencies, the board deals with those all year long. So if there's an emergency in the last 30 days before the convention, we're going to find a way to deal with it. But we'll put in, like I said, we'll put in the language that the committee has the discretion. But I just wanted to also put in that point that there's things that come up all year long. so that we can't wait till a convention.
I'm going to give the mic to Jeff, who's going to respond, and then we can take the floor.
The committee may, at its discretion, accept a resolution submitted after that, after the deadline. That's good enough for this.
So basically, it now says the committee, at its discretion, may accept resolutions after the deadline. Okay.
I'd probably go farther, but I'm old school, and you probably say, there you go. What's wrong with resolutions committee writing them on Friday night or something? I could see where they said, sometimes ideas come up at the convention.
Okay, then the committee at its discretion, Bob, can do it.
Well, when they'll say no, you're saying discretion, they'll just say no. Okay. We had to accept them and try, or say we'll do it next
thank
year.
Thank you. I heard your comment, but Bob, I'm going to move on to other people.
If I may finish,
I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay. I mean, the best work I see coming in here.
I want to say something.
Am I not to talk?
Bob, in many organizations today, where ones that use the internet and ones that don't. You're required to have resolutions submitted far, far in advance of conventions. And so, yes, this is a change in practice, but we, are going to have to do something to deal with emerging changes in our own circumstances as well.
Okay, if I could finish my question or comment, if I can. I guess under the old school, we were kind of dumb without the internet. We wrote 39 resolutions sometimes. We wrote them on the floor. We'd hear the director talking and generate a resolution. This emergency, I like your emergency thing. The graduate students, I don't know when you knew about that. It might have come up within the 30 days. I know the committee can do it, but they may say no. I think if I submit a resolution and you don't like it because it's poorly written, I'll kill it. But I think it should be done up to maybe Thursday or Friday while people are at the convention. Thank you. That's just my opinion.
Are there any other comments on Article 11? Charlene, did you still want the floor? Okay. Any other comments on Article 11? Let's go to Article 12.
Okay. Article 12, amendments. These bylaws may be amended at the annual conference and convention, provided the proposed amendment has been submitted to the Bylaws Committee at least 60 days and disseminated to the membership at least 30 days prior to the first day of the convention. That's the end of Article 12.
Any comments on Article 12? Go ahead and read it again.
Okay, I'm going to read it again. These bylaws may be amended at the annual conference and convention, provided the proposed amendment has been submitted to the Bylaws Committee at least 60 days and disseminated to the membership at least 30 days prior to the first day of the convention.
Any comments on Article 12? The final article, 13. No, we got one more. I'm just letting you know that we're coming to it.
Unlucky 13. Dissolution of the council.
That would be unlucky.
Yeah, it would be. The California Council of the Blind is organized pursuant to the general nonprofit corporation laws of the state of California. The property of the council is irrevocably dedicated to charitable purposes, and in the event of liquidation, dissolution, or abandonment of the council, after providing for the debts and obligations thereof, the remaining assets will not inure to the benefit of any private person, but will be dispersed to the American Council of the Blind. However, should such dispersal not be possible, these assets will be disposed of in such manner as may be dictated by a decree of the Superior Court of the county in which the council's agent for service of process is located. upon repetition, sorry, upon petition, therefore, by the Attorney General or any person concerned with the liquidation, dissolution, or abandonment in proceedings to which the Attorney General shall be a party, with special emphasis given, unless otherwise stipulated in accordance with the laws of the state of California, to contribute such assets to another California charitable organization having similar or identical goals as does this organization. And that was primarily taken directly from the Constitution again.
Okay. Moving the mic back. Any discussion of Article 13? Okay. Now, no further amendments will be adopted for this Constitution. I mean bylaws, but to these bylaws. We now are open for discussion of... We need a motion from the bylaws committee. I'm going to give it to Gabe here.
Madam President, as that concludes the reading of these bylaws, the Constitution and Bylaws Committee recommends a due pass on these bylaws. And at this time, I so move.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. So discussion on the floor is whether to adopt these bylaws. No, we don't.
No.
Well, as amended. Yeah, yeah, of course. Okay, who seeks the floor? Okay, we are going to try this by a voice vote. I'll just clarify, we need two-thirds. Okay, I'm going to do a voice vote. All in now, has the chair been unfair in terms of calling the yeas? Well, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
The ayes have it. Okay, we are... Jeff, how many resolutions do we have? Yep, wait a minute. Oh, Gabe wants to stand up and cheer and jump up and down. And
thank you, everybody. Thank you. I would especially like to thank the Constitution and Bylaws Committee for the probably 12 million hours that, well, until July 1st, we're the Constitution Bylaws Committee. I'd like to thank them for about the 12 million hours that they've put in on these over the last 2 years. I'm going to recognize them by name: Sarah Harris, Steve Mendelson, David Jackson, Frank Welty up here at the table to my left, and unable to make it today, Roger Peterson. Judy Wilkinson has been at many of our meetings. We've gotten many, many comments over the last, again, two years from members out there. This has not been a small project. I guess just in summary, I'd like to say that I was speaking with Joe Xavier yesterday, and he made a great example of Hostess and how the Twinkie went out of, went away because Hostess went out of business, or they went out of business because they did not change. If an organization doesn't change, they go away. That's what these bylaws are trying to do, is make us adapt so that we can be around for another 85 years or more. So thank you, everybody. And with that, Madam President, that concludes the 2019 Constitution and Bylaws, now Bylaws Committee Report.
Okay. All right. Because I want to complete action items, as you know, we're changing the agenda a little bit. We have five resolutions. Lisa, when Jeff starts the final one, the volunteer appreciation, you know you're up next, okay?
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to turn the microphone over. Gabe and Jeff are the co-chairs of the Resolutions Committee, and this year the primary hat goes to Jeff. So here you go.
Okay, so because I'll be so tired by the end, I will forget them. I'm going to try and remember my committee now. We have Gabe, of course, as the co-chair. We have the Steves, Bauer and Mendelson. We have Linda Perel. We have Jean Lozano. We have Sarah Harris. And who did I forget? Robert Wendt. I think I've forgotten him before. Yeah, okay, so we have about five to do, and the first one is going to be on accessibility of autonomous vehicles. It's Resolution 2019-2, and this is sort of a committee effort with Steve Mendelson as the sort of the point person here. Whereas, of course, we did one yesterday. That went over really well, didn't it? But that's what we have to do. We do what we stand for. That's right. We did a great one on Friday. Whereas autonomous vehicles, AVs, are coming into increasing use as modalities for the transportation of people and for the delivery of goods. And whereas there currently exists no national framework or comprehensive state rules governing their design, operation, or accessibility to people with disabilities, including people who are blind or who have low vision. And whereas companies operating in the AV industry are actively engaged in making design and implementation decisions that will affect, if not determine, the accessibility of these vehicles to people with disabilities. And whereas pending the development of an overarching legal framework, ad hoc rulemaking by state agencies ranging from the California Public Utilities Commission, CPUC, the California Department of Motor Vehicles, DMV, and by county and municipal legislative bodies and regulatory agencies are likely to proceed incrementally, resulting in a de facto regulatory system that may well not prove responsive to the needs of people who are blind or who have low vision. Now, therefore, be it resolved. Now, therefore, be it resolved, and I'm going to skip the boilerplate on these, by this organization that all companies seeking approval for experimental use of AVs in transportation or commerce take it upon themselves, or be required by the regulatory body in question, to demonstrate that the disability community, demonstrate that they have sought and taken into consideration input from the disability community, including from organizations representing and individuals knowledgeable about the interests and concerns of people who are blind or who have low vision, and that their proposals incorporate design features and procedures intended to meet the concerns and ensure accessibility for these persons. And be it further resolved that such input from the visually impaired community address not merely issues relating to the safe and effective operation of AVs by passengers, but also the infrastructural issues surrounding AV access and use, including communication necessary for locating vehicles upon their arrival, for identifying the appropriate vehicle from among many vehicles that may be co-located in a given area, and for ascertaining before, during, and at the conclusion of trips all information that persons with ordinary vision would have or expect to have. And be it further resolved that approvals for experimental and ongoing usage of AVs be conditioned upon evaluation protocols that expressly address issues of concern to blind and low vision users. And be it further resolved that no permanent approvals be granted for AV use in the absence of detailed and demonstrated provisions aimed at ensuring accessibility on terms of full equality for those who are blind or who have low vision. And the committee recommends a do pass.
Second.
There is a second. Why don't you just go ahead, Jeff?
Okay, so do we have any discussion? Did I hear a yes?
No.
That was some...
Jeff, I actually... This is, could we forward this to the... I would like to forward this to the American Council of the Blind. Can we?
That would be an amendment. That is an amendment.
It's a friendly amendment.
But it's friendly.
Friendly.
Yeah, very, very friendly amendment.
Okay, so you'll unmute.
I did.
So
I wrote it in. It will be, the amendment is to forward this resolution to the American Council of the Blind for action at its convention, so that Gabe, as co-chair of that committee, can handle it. And I, as one of the members, can sleep through it.
Oh, you think so, dude?
Okay, enough fun.
Okay, hearing no discussion, there's been a call for the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those no. Abstentions. It has passed. Okay, so I'm pulling up the next one. This is on Trader Joe's barcodes and was submitted by Margie Donovan. Whereas access to printed material is important in the performance of daily tasks, and whereas for persons who are blind or otherwise print disabled, access to this information is difficult to obtain, and whereas barcodes on food and other items provide access to this information for those with print disabilities through the use of barcode scanners, and whereas Trader Joe's uses proprietary barcode technology that is unreadable by barcode scanners usable by consumers with print disabilities, and whereas such a policy deprives such people of access to vital health and nutritional information, cooking instructions, and other important information, and whereas the lack of necessity for this practice is underscored by the fact that this type of proprietary barcode is not used by other major chains, and whereas Trader Joe's has shown itself in other ways to be extremely proactive in working with people with vision impairments and others, now therefore be it resolved that this organization request that Trader Joe's change its practice to enable people with print disabilities using barcode scanners to access product information, and be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be forwarded to the American Council of the Blind for action at its 2019 conference and convention. The committee recommends a do pass. Discussion. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? The resolution is adopted. Okay, I'm passing down. I want to... Okay. Just got interrupted by my daughter saying goodbye. All right. Yeah, got a hug. Okay, Resolution 2019-4, Accessible Parks and Playgrounds. The idea for this resolution came... what did Lisa want? Oh, okay. The idea for this resolution came from Charles Navarrete, and the committee played with it and did some things that we think will hopefully inure to the benefit of all of us. So this is on accessible parks and playgrounds. Whereas the use of universal design for parks and playgrounds will create recreational and educational opportunities and experiences for children and adults who are blind or who have low vision. Now therefore be resolved that this organization encourage its affiliates when the design of parks and playgrounds are being considered in their local jurisdictions to seek the inclusion of universal design elements consistent with the needs of people who are blind or who have low vision. And the committee recommends a do pass. Okay, is there any discussion? Okay, Olivia, we'll get you a mic.
Years ago, our Fresno flood and whatever it is, district, decided to build, what park is it, guys? What's the name of the park? Thank you. No, not that one, the other one.
What is your point?
Okay, my point is, at that time, when we voted, or when we put together a park here for the disabled, this was before Inspiration Park, I can't remember the name. Thank you. I was with NFB, and we met with the Doug Harrison, who at the time was the director of that of the flood district, and we thoroughly went through that type of things of what we would need as blind and visually impaired program folks. So at that time, our flood district totally adopted the recommendations that we made at that time. So here in Fresno, we covered that very well, and I just wanted to make that, that
okay,
point.
Thank you. All right, any further discussion? All right, the question has been called. All those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Okay. 2019-5, this is our last substantive resolution, census. Whereas the United States Decennial Census forms part of the basis for which state and local funding allocations are made for a broad array of federal programs, including special education services, services for deaf, blind individuals, employment-related services, and services for older Americans, including those for seniors with vision loss. And whereas in the past, census data has dramatically undercounted, people with disabilities, including people with vision loss. And whereas this underrepresentation has a direct and profound impact on federal funding allocations to the state and its local agencies for a broad array of services and programs. And whereas the 2020 census in California is under the leadership of the Office of the Census in the Governor's Office, but implementation is largely at the county level. And whereas one prong of the census effort in California is Disability Count 2020, which is an initiative to address the undercounting of Californians with disabilities, including those with vision impairments. And whereas the 2020 census is intended to be largely conducted through the provision of postcards that indicate that residents should complete census questionnaires via electronic means. And whereas this methodology will create barriers for people who are blind or who have low vision, the inability to read print postcards or use websites. And whereas, because CCB census data will be gathered largely through electronic means, it is essential that the websites and other related technology used in this effort be not only accessible but easily usable by persons who are blind or have low vision. And whereas the California Council of the Blind has already begun to engage in efforts to inform the Census Office about the need for usability of its electronic data gathering systems and resources that should be utilized to publicize the census and provide outreach and assistance to persons who are blind or have low vision. And whereas in order to optimize efforts to assist in outreach on the census for people with vision loss, it is necessary to use television, radio, social media, and private and public agencies serving people with vision loss. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization use its best efforts to work with the California Office of the Census and the counties, including the County Supervisors Association of California, to ensure that all methods used for disseminating information about the census and for collecting census data be designed and implemented in a manner that will maximize the effectiveness in reaching people who are blind or have low vision, and that will enable such individuals to successfully complete and submit census questionnaires. And be it further resolved that this organization forward a copy of this resolution to the American Council of the Blind for appropriate action at its 2019 conference and convention. The committee recommends a due pass. And I also want to add, although this isn't in there, as I said Friday night, we recommend that all of you participate at your county level. So, all right, we'll do that. Okay, is there a second? Okay, we have seconds. Any discussion? No discussion. Okay, hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? The resolution is adopted. Thank you very much. Also, and Steve wanted to mention this while I'm looking for the other one, our final one. Census at uscensus.gov also advertises for jobs, even now. And so you might want to think about looking it up and seeing if there's any jobs, temporary employment that you can do. So that's something to look into. And if we get more data about some of the jobs available to us, we might publicize that as well. So, you know, let's use it for all we can. Okay, our final resolution is 2019-7. We did 6 on Friday night for the hotel staff and management. This is volunteer appropriation. Volunteer appreciation. You can get the legislative council attorney out of the job, but you can't take the job out of the, or whatever. Something like that. We're whereas the outstanding assistance of the many volunteers at the 2019 California Council of the Blind Conference and Convention has helped to make this event an unqualified success. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization thank and commend the 2019 Conference and Convention volunteers for a job well done. And the committee recommends a due pass. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Let's hear it for the volunteers. Hey. And that concludes the report of the Resolutions Committee for the 2019. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm going to take the mic back, and let me say, lest you think you should start fleeing because there's nothing else to vote on. There are, however, many door prizes. And what we will do at the end, as we've sort of done on Sunday mornings now, we'll collect the name tags and put them in a hat, and we'll only use those so we won't take all the time we won't take all the time, you know, sifting through who ain't here. Okay, at this time, we'll recognize our treasurer, Lisa Thomas, for her report. Wait a minute. I'm sorry, Lisa, before you say anything, is James Collins here? Okay. I was just going to let poor James know that once again, we are not going to hear about energy upgrade. You've all kind of heard it in your chapters and stuff. But we'll do a conference about it and count numbers. Anyway, we're going to move on to Lisa's treasurer's report now.
If I see him walk in, do you want me to let you know?
Yes, please. Yeah, or let him. Yeah, let him know. Yeah, let him know that we're running too late and we just can't have his report today. Oh, yes, we could start collecting name badges now because we don't. We voted on everything.
No more voting.
No, we'll vote. Everything can be a voice vote after this. Okay, so we can start collecting name badges. Put your, you know, get them together. Oh. And then we can also relieve our poor volunteers of having to do everything at the end. Who said, Madam President? Yes, Mona. Shh, shh, shh. Give her a mic.
we take it to our, the volunteers are collecting.
Lisa is bringing you a mic, Mona. Our poor, our volunteers, others, we have limited resources this morning. And
yes. Just to the point of clarification, Thursday or Wednesday, you admitted, I guess it's Thursday, you mentioned about a mini treadmill, and I went to the exhibit room yesterday and I didn't see anything. Can you mention the company name again so I can look them up on the internet?
It's called ONTHEMUV, and we'll be getting out lots more information about it in the near future. They were here yesterday.
I didn't see them.
Excuse me? It's the, she asked about On the Move, the treadmill.
On the Move, okay, thank you.
And as I said, they were in, they talked to about a dozen people or so, as many people as they could. They were thrilled. They are excited to be working with us. And we're going to move this project ahead.
Steve Mendelson, point of information.
Christy says it's awesome. Steve, what is your? Steve Mendelson is asking for a point of clarification. Steve, this better be good. Somebody got Steve a mic? Oh, Ike.
I better withdraw before it's too late.
Here you go, Steve.
Mona, I just wanted to say how sorry we were that you didn't get to see it. That we're here. But to reiterate and emphasize Judy's important point, which is we will be distributing this CCB. And we will be providing full information and hopefully many opportunities to learn about it and to see and test and use it in the months to come.
Okay, since Steve said something after I said something, Christy can say something too. Poor Lisa is run off her feet and we don't have so many, so somebody's getting you a mic.
Okay, I just want to say that I experienced both. There's two different varieties. There's a motorized and a manual, and they both serve their purposes. They said the manual is really good for the intermittent movement. And like I said, I tried both. I think you all will be pleased. I know that they will give us a chance to exhibit it, and maybe, they might even, I don't know, but I'm going to be in touch with them. I did a video with them and signed so they can use me on the video saying I love it. And we will be partnering with them to sell this product. And it can be used for much more than just us. I am going to bring it to the attention of the state hospitals because we have so many patients who are obese, and basically that's what they need is kind of chair exercise.
And we aren't limited to just the blindness community. We can, in fact, go to senior Christie hospitals. That's great. We really hope this can become a CCB moneymaker in the future. We're seriously excited. Who's Jean, was that you? Please don't use my name, use yours. But I know your voice. So if we could get a mic to Jean, we need to move on, though, pretty quickly here. Somebody getting Jean a mic? Charlene, are you in the room? Could you, if people raise their hand, would you be able to get the mics to them, do you think?
We got it.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with some of the recent policies that we've passed, and I was just wondering, do we have a policy dealing with partnerships and endorsements of products or devices?
For this purpose, Gene, we do not have a contract, and until we do, of course, this is all exciting, but we will need a contract to work with this. We don't.
Yep.
Point of information. This was not meant as an opposition.
No, I know, Gene.
Point of clarification. Gene, we will not be endorsing the product. We will be distributing it pursuant to a contract that we'll be signing.
In a working partnership. I was just wondering if we had a policy.
No, we actually don't have an official policy.
We will have a contract.
Okay, I suggest that you consider a policy endorsement policy.
That's a good thought. Yeah. That's a very... Yeah.
But again, Gene, for the record, it's not an endorsement situation.
Yeah, but Gene, that's a very good point, and the board will take, the board will look at that, and I think that's a very good suggestion.
Thank you, Gene.
Thank you, Gene. Yeah. They said I didn't thank you, Gene, but I did.
We're all just saying thank you, Gene. Oh,
they were all saying thank you. Least... Lisa?
Yes.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Before I give my treasurer's report, since it's pretty short, I just wanted to take a minute to thank our volunteers, the Fresno chapter, Wrangled Up Friends, family, whoever we can find. Many of them have been here every day. I myself know walking back and forth in this room and in the hotel. It's quite a bit of work. GSGDHI, Charlene Ornalis and Alice Turner did a great job finding volunteers for the guide dog relief area. I heard that last night one of the volunteers from the Puppy Rangers of Fresno was in a car accident after she left here.
Oh my God.
An intoxicated driver hit her.
Oh my God.
She is doing well, from what I understand. Her name is Ellie Rosenthal. So we wish her well in her recovery. But I just want us, CCB, to take a minute to thank our volunteers. We've had volunteers. I know Miss Jamie had her son here working on his birthday. I had my son working on his birthday. So can we please give them a big round of applause, because we can't do this without our volunteers. I might take a little bit of Judy's thunder here, but there's also two other people I want to thank, and it's somebody that I work very closely with. She's been a great asset to CCB. Her tenacity to learn is amazing. I've been very happy to work with her one-on-one. I think we probably talk 10 times a day, maybe. I talk to her more than Judy does. But I really want to thank Nicole Pacheco and Mario for their help. They actually left the room to go pack up, but she's a great asset we have. So on to my official duties here. The treasurer report. Our operating account, current bank balance, is $30,396. The balance at convention end of 2018 was $72,150. Our investment accounts, I'll first start with the Menino Trust. The balance at convention end 2018 was $41,550. Current balance is $42,407. Our Newell Perry Endowment Trust, balance at convention end 2018, $189,580. Current balance, $148,000. Ellen Murphy Trust, balance at convention end 2018, $229,800. Current, $206,000. Wells Fargo Advisor account, $0. Balance at convention end 2018 was $73,488. This account has been dissolved and closed. That's the end of my treasurer's report.
And she moves, obviously. It's adoption.
Second.
There's a second. And I, who's seeking the floor? I want to say your name and not mine, okay? Yeah, that's how we that's why then we don't have to stop and say who seeks the floor. So get a mic to Mona, please. Okay, good. Go ahead, Mona.
Can you explain? And I'm not trying to start nothing, okay?
why there is a negative, or not a negative, but why there's such a loss in the Neil Perry Scholarship Fund?
Go ahead. Well, because the board asked for, and the Newell Perry Trust gave us $70,000 last year.
There was a disbursement that we received, I believe it was in September, for roughly $25,000.
So I understand that, but my concern now then is there...
Mona, you know what's coming next? It's the Newell Perry Trustees Report.
Okay.
Rosemary, go ahead. By the way, do we have a second? Have we had a second to accept the... Yeah, okay. So go ahead, Rosemary.
Oh, may I have a total on the assets? May I please have a total on the assets of our organization? I would appreciate a total.
You mean literally...
Yeah, literally.
Okay.
So I can roughly, I don't have that exact number, but roughly our total assets would be $460,000.
Yeah.
That includes reserved and unreserved funds.
Okay. All in favor of accepting the treasurer's report, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain?
Madam President, to help those of us who are running with microphones who are part of group two, please raise your hand and maybe even move it a little bit so we can find you.
Because Charlene's helping with the mics, and that's great.
So is Paul Patrick.
Just identify yourself so she can find you.
There you go.
Lisa still wants to add something else.
So just really quick, Nicole walked in the room. Can we please give her a hand of applause?
And that goes for Mario, too.
Yeah.
And I have declared to Nicole, we had originally said in the happenings that the office will be closed Monday. The office will be closed Monday and Tuesday. Yay. All right. This is mandatory to be presented at the convention. I will now read the Newell Perry Trust Report. Newell Perry Endowment Trust, California Council of the Blind Conference and Convention, prepared May 25, 2019. Article 4.9 of the current Constitution of the California Council of the Blind requires that the trustees of the Newell Perry Endowment Trust prepare and present a report to the membership at the Council's annual conference and convention. As I will not be in attendance this year, this is from Mitch, the following will serve as the Newell Perry Endowment Trustees report to the Board of Directors and membership of the California Council of the Blind. The Newell Perry Endowment Trustees are Mitchell Pomerantz, chairperson, Richard Retta, and Margaret Buckman Garcia. Once again, I want to publicly acknowledge my fellow trustees for their strong commitment to and support for the original intent of Dr. Newell Perry to further the purposes of the California Council of the Blind through establishment of the trust. The three of us who serve work hard to be diligent stewards of doctor's bequest to the council. Let me make it clear at this point that the members of the Newell Perry Endowment Trust are fully cognizant of the dire financial situation in which CCB has found itself for the past several years, and particularly during President Wilkinson's time at the helm. For the third consecutive year, the CCB board has come to the trust asking for funds to partially cover a yearly shortfall in revenues. What is of serious concern to us, however, is the fact that as of the time of most recent requests submitted, the council had yet to draft a budget for 2019. In addition, it is our understanding that the council's books have not been audited for some time, possibly as long as 3 years. We find these lapses in sound not-for-profit management troubling, to say the least, and sincerely hope that both failures will be rectified soon. This report encompasses the period February 2018 through April 2019, the most recent investment summary provided by Morgan Stanley, the trust's financial manager. In April, the trustees received a request from the CCB board for the balance remaining in the trust, approximately $80,000, beyond the original $70,000 corpus, the amount placed in trust by Dr. Perry's estate. You may recall that the corpus cannot be touched without a specific constitutional amendment adopted for this purpose. As mentioned earlier, we received similar requests in both 2017 and 2018. The trustees have yet to act upon this year's request because, as we indicated to President Wilkinson, we first would like to see a 2019 budget before taking any action. Now for the numbers. Through April 30th of this year, the balance in the Newell Perry Endowment Trust is $153,838.45. I'll repeat that number, $153,838.45. As compared to $191,125.13, the amount reported through February 2018. This represents a decrease in the fund over the past 14 months of $37,226.68, or 19.5%. If you don't take into account the $70,000 given to CCB in 2018, the fund would have actually increased by almost $33,000. I must again remind both the CCB membership as well as the board of directors that after this year's likely $80,000 plus amount beyond the corpus, once a budget is submitted, our ability to financially assist the council ceases short of an amendment to the Constitution or to the proposed updated bylaws when adopted. If such an amendment is ultimately passed at some future time, the Newell Perry Endowment Trust will be gone forever. I urge everyone hearing this report, particularly the CCB president and board of directors, to think long and hard before taking such an irrevocable step. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the report of the Newell Perry Endowment Trustees for the 2019 Conference and Convention of the California Council of the Blind. May there be a need for such a report in 2020. Mitch Pomerantz, Chairperson, Newell Perry Endowment Trust.
Oppose.
Do we need to vote on accepting this? Okay. Gabe moves acceptance. Is there a second?
I second.
And Sarah seconds. And let me just add that since Mitch wrote this report, as I reported to the board Thursday evening, we have decided that this year we can ask for a lot less than that $80,000. We are going to ask for $40,000 and hopefully not even need to use all of that amount. So that is an additional point that I'd like to make, given what happened at our recent meeting with the trustees. Is there any discussion? Questions?
Discussion.
Linda Perrell.
Stephen Mendelson.
And then Steve.
She's in the back hall. Wave it like you just don't care.
Is there a mic down by Steve, or do we have
one? This one here.
Linda.
I have to say, with regret, I particularly find offensive the first reference to under the tenure of President Wilkinson. I really think that was inappropriate and uncalled for, and I wish there were a way to note that. It's just wrong.
You have noted it. Thank you. Yeah. Steve.
Although I will not vote in opposition to the resolution to accept this report, I want to express and again put on the record, possibly with a view to requesting a different kind of report next year, concerns about the fact that this is not, by any standards that I'm aware of, an adequate report. It fails to give any of the critical information that the council would need in adopting or evaluating the trustee's performance, such as whether or not the investment advisor uses a fiduciary standard or a best interest standard, such as what are the benchmarks, other indices or benchmarks against which the performance of the trust is measured, and various other key factors that are widely accepted and the field is being required for an adequate report.
Does anybody else seek the floor? Who's that? Joshua Saunders. I think you're back there with Linda, so just keep that mic back there.
Yeah.
Joshua, again, I understand this is your first convention. You're the alternate delegate. You have I've found you around, and it's great to have new delegates and first-timers.
Well, I wanted to thank you for that, and the reason...
Okay, wait a minute, Joshua. Do you have the mic?
Sorry.
There you go.
Thank you. I wanted to thank you for that, and I wanted to, sir, okay, and I wanted to thank you for that, and also I may be bringing something up that, you know, isn't, because I'm not really familiar with new things, but I wanted to have a sense of how much the, because you said $40,000 was going to be taken out for, you know, expenses, and I wanted to have a sense, is that for general operating expenses, or sort of have a sense of why resources have been taken out over time? Because I'm not real familiar with this, I'd like to have a sense of how the organization is working and why things are becoming difficult. Thank you.
It's mainly that we have more outgo than we have income, Josh. That's ultimately kind of the bottom line, and for many, many years, the California Council of the Blind, if you were at the board meeting Thursday night, you may have heard us talk about how for years we overestimated income and underestimated expense. Just 1 minute. Yeah. And so that's the short answer. And Gabe, our first vice president, is going to get the mic now.
I'd just also like to address Joshua, and I guess by way of a comment also in the report, that the thing about under President Wilkinson's tenure, long before Judy was ever president, CCB used to run $100,000 deficits, going back to Donna Pomerantz's presidency. the issue there was that we had several hundred thousand dollars worth of investments that we drew from. So it was before Judy's presidency that all of those investments were depleted. That is the only reason that we've had to go to the Newell Perry Trust Fund the last couple of years. So it's not that we've all of a sudden started running a deficit. We've been running a deficit for probably 12 years or so.
Judy, may I make a comment?
Who's that?
Lisa.
Yes, Lisa.
I just wanted to make a point of reference that the report given by Mitch Pomerantz had a difference of a little bit between what I provided. Obviously, the Newell Perry Endowment Trust is an investment account. The value of that changes on a day-to-day basis based on the investments. Also, the trustees of that account have more up-to-date information than I would, because I don't see it until roughly a month or so after the fact. So the difference is based on when Mitch did his report, when I did mine, and the cost value of the account based on investments between his report and mine.
Understood. Go ahead, Penny. Get Penny a mic.
I just want to make a comment. I think we should not blame anything on anybody, because it always happens. I do not like blaming past presidents or current presidents. This has been going on a long time. So let's just keep it nice, please.
Okay. Any other comments? Thank you. We've had a call for the question. All in favor of accept...
Frank is seeking the floor.
All right. Before the call for the question, Alex, I get that.
Judy, I think you'll actually like this one. Just as a board member, I want to assure the membership here that we are aware of the status of the Newell Perry Foundation and the fund, and we are definitely serious about dealing with our current financial situation. The board as well as the Phoenix Committee are working very hard both to identify ways of minimizing expenses and raising revenues, and you can be assured that we're going to be doing our level best to turn our finances around and hopefully in the long term to rebuild the balance in the Newell Perry Fund.
Okay, now we have a call for the question. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? There are a couple of opposed and a couple of abstains. Okay, we have, so far as I know, one remaining item of business that's important that we conduct this morning, and that is the reading of the minutes by the secretary from the conference convention for the last convention in 2018. Yes. While Artis is pulling this up, Gabe has an announcement.
Anyone tired of hearing from me yet?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, Sarah, you can leave. I just want to, one more time, while everybody is still here in the back of the room, Jake Pelley has been running around this place like a madman. Yeah. He's the one that's helped make sure that we have the mic set up here and is running. He's helped get the audio into other rooms. I understand he's also jumped in to help run a mic to some of you guys out there calling for the floor. So, Jake, this is the first time he's been with us, and it's been awesome getting to know you, and thank you so much for your help. And for folks out there listening on ACB Radio, I'd like to also thank the stream team, Andrea de Klotz, Steve Bauer, Guillermo Robles, Rob Turner, and am I forgetting anyone, guys? Yes. Okay. And I, yeah. And you know, that was a stream of folks. And I'd also like to go back to the audio and give a special thanks also to David Jackson, who spent several hours on Thursday morning helping us, and Friday morning us helping us pull wires and get all the audio set up. So thank you, Dave, for jumping in on that.
And before I hand it over to Otis, there is somebody back there who has said they have a question, and I'm sorry, I don't know who that is. Somebody. Okay. I'm sorry that I missed that. Okay, Otis. Over to you. Do we need to get you a mic?
Lisa gave me hers.
And does someone need to hold stuff for you? Or
It's on a stand. Good. I think it's okay.
Okay, we can hear you fine.
Okay, 2018 business meeting minutes. On Friday, March 23rd, 2018, elections were held. Judy Wilkinson was elected president. Gabe Griffith was elected first vice president. Ken Metz was elected second vice president. Lisa Presley Thomas was elected treasurer. The following board members were elected. Frank Welty, Charlene Ornelas, Paul Patchett Jr., and Rob Turner. The proposed constitution failed to pass. Okay, Judy Wilkinson opened the CCB 2018 business meeting. With members remembering members who had passed. Artis Bazin read the 2017 CCB minutes. Charlene Ornelas made a motion to accept the minutes as read, and the motion was seconded and passed. Peter Pardini read the treasurer's report. Peter thanked all chapters and affiliates who donated funds for the purposes of CCB and the purchases at the auction of auction items. Sarah Harris made a motion to accept the treasurer's report. It was seconded and passed. Jeff read resolution 18-01 on advocacy efforts on Capitol Day, letters, and partnerships. CCB was encouraged to explore partnerships with like-minded organizations in the future. The resolution passed. Jeff read resolution 1802. The Department of Rehabilitation should be a model in meeting obligations in providing documents in accessible format and should take immediate steps to provide these documents. The resolution passed. Okay, resolution 18-03.
Artis, one second. Go ahead, Artis.
Okay, resolution 18-03 covered the state price schedule for purchasing of goods and services. A current price schedule was created and had positive impact and expire in June 2018. Discussion occurred and the resolution passed. The resolution 18-04 was on paratransit services. Rules vary within various counties regarding eligibility, and this is currently a problem. The resolution passed. Resolution 18-05. HAVA requirements insist private and independent elections. And polling books are currently not accessible to blind, visually impaired poll workers. And this should be corrected. This motion also passed. Resolution 18-06. Was about accessible prescription drug labeling. All drug stores should be required to have them available. This is a reasonable accommodation. This resolution was also passed. Resolution 18-07. Asks federal procurement of products and services be limited to 500, and that should be changed. RSA staffing levels, or $5,000, sorry about that. RSA staffing levels are too low to make this regulation practical. CCB urges the Secretary of the Department of Education to withdraw this provision. This motion also passed. Okay, resolution 18-08 asks the DMV Office of Personnel to change their policy of refusing to fill in forms for persons with visual impairment. This motion also passed. Resolution 18-09 on physical access guidelines. It advocates to amend rules about federal yellow, to amend federal rules regarding yellow on traffic accessible signals. That doesn't make sense. Just a second. amend federal yellow rules on traffic accessible by accessible traffic signals. Oh, and we're opposed to the deletion of control buttons, curb ramps, and transition ramp. So anyway, we were opposed to some of the changes they made on by traffic signals. And that resolution passed. Okay, resolution. You can get the full context of all resolutions from the office. And they're in the BC, too, as far as that goes. Okay, resolution 1810 asks for accessible electronic verification program for those giving services for home services support. This asks for a reliable verification program with privacy. This resolution also passed. Gabe made a motion to accept a proposed resolution thanking volunteers. That motion passed. Gabe made a motion to accept a proposed resolution thanking staff of the hotel and adding how CCB is looking forward to another convention at this hotel next year. Well, okay. This motion passed. He also thanked all those who assisted with resolutions. Okay, Paul Shane gave his CEO report. He thanked the volunteer groups who provided all the assistance for all work provided at the convention. The Newell Perry report is required for each convention. The Morgan Stanley handles this fund. The CCB Board of Trustees the CCB Board requested $70,000 from this fund. The balance was $191,125, and the report was accepted as read. Okay, Gabe thanked the Constitution and Bylaws Committee members for their input into the proposed bylaws. the Constitution and Bylaws Committee report was accepted. Gabe thanked the Streaming Committee. John Glass, Dan Kaiser, Rob Turner, and Ken Metz, and the audio team. Karen thanked Andy Tom for handling the mobility training for the hotel, and Judy thanked the Capital Chapter for their host work. Ken wants to start a diabetic group, and Olivia Olvergarten, I don't know if I got that name correctly, but is willing to assist him with that. Christy Crespin said the crisis committee helped three people during the past year. The Ellen Murphy Foundation has helped several persons, mostly with health issues and homelessness. Lisa Cushman, Anthony
Signorello.
Anthony S. I'm assuming Signorella. and more were interested in starting an LGBT group. Peter reminded members donations are always welcome. Mm-hmm. They still are. There was no unfinished or new business. Judy adjourned the convention. Thank you.
Frank Welty.
Go ahead, Frank. Go ahead, Frank.
Yes, one correction. The reference to the proposed constitution being defeated should refer to the proposed bylaws.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. Any other? We need to. Yes. We need to. Do we need a motion to accept? Right. First. Sarah. Okay, and then he has. Yeah.
Okay. There's one other amendment that I think needs to be made, where I think it talks about the Ellen Murphy Foundation. It should be Ellen Murphy Trust, I believe.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Okay, with those.
You have a question.
Yes, Charlene.
Hi, this is Mike Keithley. Can I get clear what failed last?
The bylaws failed, Mike.
The bylaws failed.
Yeah.
Okay, now I understand. Thank you.
Okay. Olivia? Yeah, we'll get your name correctly spelled. And Jean, I heard you.
Foundation.
Thank you. The resolution where it referred to Federal Yellow, that was regarding requiring Federal Yellow for curb ramps and blended transitions.
Okay.
Just put curb ramps. And cut-throughs through islands.
And cut through
Oh, islands. Okay.
And cut through islands. Okay.
Okay, thanks.
The gold star for the day.
Okay. Now, is with those amendments, all in favor accepting the treasurer, the secretary's minutes? Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Thank you. And once again, Artis has been our secretary since 2015, and we thank her for her years of work on the minutes. Okay, you know, we are going to go to door prizes, we're going to go to unfinished business, but first, I'm going to give a few minutes. I have told our new outreach education person for the Energy Upgrade California, who are one of the $5,000 sponsors, they sponsored the program, in essence, for this convention, told him he was on the agenda Friday afternoon, right? Okay. So I look at the schedule Friday afternoon, and then I buttonhole James late in the day and say, sorry, you're not on the agenda for Friday because, you know, we just are too... So I promise, Saturday afternoon, 3:45. Well, you know what we were doing yesterday at 3:45. So I sent word out to James, nah, you're not on today, Sunday. And so, in fact, for James to give a full report is not going to be happening this morning. But I do want to give him a chance to say a few. He's here to say a few words to you, to hear his voice, and so that you know who we'll be working with for the rest of the year in terms of our outreach commitments. So, James Collins, finally, you're on.
Thank you, Judy, for having me, and thank you, CCB, for allowing me to be here in terms of the community educator. Oh, okay, sorry. Okay, here we go. All right. I'm getting used to this now. So good morning, everybody. Thank you, CCB, for having me here in Fresno. It's been a wonderful convention. Of course, as Judy said, I'm the community educator working on the Energy Upgrade California and the Time of Use program for those folks with blind and low vision throughout the state of California. And throughout, I've started May 1st, I believe, so pretty much brand new to the position, and I'm just looking forward to reaching out to all the chapters statewide so that we can talk about how we can conserve our energy usage and all the other things that are coming through the program starting this year and also ramping up through next year as well. So I had the table on Friday and Saturday at the General Exhibit Hall. Would like to talk to folks via conference call when we get back into the office next week and throughout the end of the month. I understand the office is going to be closed on Monday and Tuesday, which is very nice. But if you do give us a call, I will probably answer or be put in touch with me, and then we can schedule a time for us to talk about how we can present and let folks know throughout the community that the changes that are happening. So essentially, California is trying to reach a zero carbon emission state within the next 20 to 25 years, and part of that is trying to persuade consumers of electricity, you and I, everyone here, to use renewable resources, energy resources, and to cut back on non-renewable resources, which usually peak between the hours of 4 p.m. and 9 p.m. I know that that's often not feasible, but if we can at least start to change our attitudes and minds towards how we use energy, then I think we could be really good to hit that goal. Of course, there are other factors in curbing carbon emissions, of course, heavy-duty vehicles like diesel and things like that, but you know, anything that we can do to take a bite out of the pie is going to be really good for the state and for the country as a whole. So with that, I'm looking forward to meeting all of the folks that are affiliated with the CCB, and I will certainly try to, if the budget allows, to attend some of those meetings as I'm going throughout the state talking about the energy upgrade time of use program. So thank you very much.
Thank you, James. Let me say that James, did people pick up the Braille copies? We finally have Braille copies of this information, and we'll get it to you. You call the office. Do you have the Braille in the room with you by any chance?
We do have Braille copies. Yes, I can grab them. I actually packed them into the...
No, you packed them. Okay. We'll take them. No, we'll call the office if you want Braille, because we finally have it. And large print. We have large print. Now... What was that? Yes, Lisa. Let me just make one final statement. James in May has already reached out to hundreds of people at various fairs and senior activities that he has attended. So he has just hit the ground running. We can't thank him enough.
Madam President?
Hang on one more second, Lisa. We also reach out, by the way, we can reach out to not only blind and low vision folks, but seniors and other low people of disability who are on low income. So now, Lisa.
Okay. So, considering, you know, there's a number of people in the room, is it at all... Oh, what happened to the mic?
You've got it. Keep
going. Okay. The mic died, but...
No.
Okay,
no.
I guess it didn't die. Okay, it did not die. Is it possible that James can do his presentation and record all the number of people in the room?
Oh, yes.
For our numbers?
We'll count how many were registered at the convention and assume we reached those people because they had the program and they could go to the exhibit hall and all
okay.
that stuff.
That was my only...
Yeah, good. Right?
Yes.
Right. He says yes. He seconds that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think we have finally come to the point where we can draw for... Well, no, wait a minute. Do I have to declare the convention concluded first? No, not yet, not yet. Okay, let's go for door prizes. Well, oh, no, we're not going to announce for any other announcements or committee reports. You can go. You're released. Okay, you know, Gabe is saying, why not? All right. All right. Who am I to, Are there any people who wish to give committee reports?
See how easy that was?
It is amazing to have my first vice president and our second vice president sitting right here, kind of, no, she's not elect. She's a, no. No. Oh, stop it. So they're up here reminding me of things like this because, sometimes it's that as absolutely what they're supposed to do. So there are no committee reports. So can we now go to announcements? Whoops.
You have a hand up.
Oh, right. Olivia?
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
I would like to know how, if you would like to be on a certain committee, how is that, what is the process?
You email me
okay.
If you'd like to be on certain committees.
Okay, dokie.
And I love to hear from people who want to be on committees. And you are already on several, and that's great. I appreciate it. We all appreciate it. Seriously, folks. It is wonderful when people email me and say, I'm ready to work. I'd like to be doing this. So please keep those emails coming. Is there any old business to come before the convention? Apparently not.
I move the convention be...
No.
No.
Is there any new business to come before the convention? No. Okay, so now let's go to door prizes. We are giving away stuff. I might finally get a prize. Oh, enough giggling over there.
Okay, ready?
Yes.
Okay, so
Our first store prize is a beach bag / shopping bag and $25 cash donated by the Active Blind Inland Valleys. Rick Plath. Rick.
He was in the room? I can't imagine. No, sorry. I didn't say that.
Jim Chamberlain.
Yeah, I think he is too.
Hey, Jim, what are you going to put in the beach bag?
Okay. Let's keep going here.
Next up is Ghirardelli Chocolate and Bump Dogs.
Mine.
Donated by the Redwood Empire chapter. John Ross.
Hey! See how much faster this goes when we just use the names of the people in the room?
Also donated by the Redwood Empire chapter is a handmade ceramic
bowl
with the Starbucks card.
Okay. With a Starbucks.
David Jackson.
Good day.
Now you see. Dave doesn't need any Starbucks.
Next, we have $25 cash donated by the San Francisco chapter.
Thank you.
It's
fine. Miss Jamie Gibson Barrows.
You know, Ed has just reminded me at Crestman, we thanked the hotel staff, but you know, the security person, Paul, has been... So when you see him, tell him we gave him a shout out and a huge cheer.
We have another Ghirardelli chocolate and bump dots donated by Redwood Empire. I think it's Gail Miller. It says Gail Miller. Is it Gail Miller?
Here. She's not here.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's interesting that she wasn't here.
Marnie Woloski. Okay. Woloski.
Is she here?
Yes, she's here.
Okay.
And let's do another Ghirardelli chocolate and bump dots donated by the Redwood Empire chapter.
The Redwood Empire chapter donated some amazing door prizes. I think they had 28 something like that.
So I don't think this person deserves chocolate. Gabe Griffith.
Oh!
Trying to take my chocolate. Let's fight and stop.
If any of you opened up your bag at the registration desk, you had a little small soap in it that was made by Veronica Hernandez from the diabetic group. She has donated 5 additional little soaps. So, Judy Wilkinson.
You know, you can put the names back. Is somebody suggesting I'm not clean? I'm not clean.
I'll put them in your bag, Judy.
Okay.
Yep.
Or so she says.
She says she's going to put them in my bag.
Yeah. I put 3 out of the 5. So let's do a really, really big one. $50 cash donated by the Silicon Valley chapter. And I'm going to shake really good. Yeah. As I'm just knocking the bag over. Oh. Jean Lozano.
Lisa, how much cash do we have left? You know, just pure cash?
None. We're done.
Okay, we're done with the cash. Yeah. Okay.
I've spent all the cash. Handmade ceramic with Starbucks card donated by the Redwood Empire chapter.
Let me see your chocolate.
Pam Metz.
Let me see your chocolate. Wow, I love those. Yeah. Those are tiny. Yeah. I love Bump Dots.
Ghirardelli chocolate and Bump Dots donated by the Redwood Empire chapter. Paul Patchy Jr. And our last door prize.
Last door prize. What?
Okay. Let me reshake. We had a new addition to the bunch.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, we have a star over.
So our last door prize for our 85th convention is a handmade ceramic and Starbucks card donated by Redwood Empire chapter. Bob Acosta. He left.
He left. I'm sure he's going to miss that.
John Gassman.
Is he gone? Was that it, Lisa?
That's it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I declare the 2019 85th anniversary California Council of the Blind Conference and Convention closed. Wait a minute. We understand that Paul just came in. Paul, the security guard. Yay! Paul, we wanted to thank you for the amazing help you've given us all weekend. Thank you so much.
Yeah.